Welcome to the Central Assembly Podcast. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
It's very familiar to you, Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. This scripture and many more like it were the hope that I hung on to during a time that I have learned to call the dark night of my soul. I should probably let you know here at the beginning that normally I'm an extrovert. I like people. I like being around them. People energize me, and I love a good party. I was a nurse. I felt confident in what I was doing as I made hard decisions. However, a few years back, I started feeling alone and useless. This caused me to stop visiting with friends. I stopped answering the phone. I stopped just about everything that had previously brought joy to my life. And the enemy was at work. He was bringing up all my past mistakes. And he was majoring on what I saw as my failures. I felt darkness in my life. And I felt completely alone. And I lost the plot in the darkness. It no longer seemed that light could overcome the dark. In the darkness, my thinking became muddled. Everything looked gray. I was not needed, or so I felt. My emotions began to rule my thoughts and my actions. At my darkest moment, I even considered ending my life. I was what the medical community calls clinically depressed. Through this experience, I learned so many things, some of which I would like to share with you. I learned that when we feel that we are in the dark, God still knows exactly how to find us. And he goes right to our pain, because he knows exactly what we need. He never gives up, even when we want to. The first thing Jesus did was to take me out of my disillusionment that I could overcome this by myself. And he used the community of believers to bring healing to me. Specifically, the community included my husband, a group of quilters, my counselor, and a friend. For you see, having community is not solely for fellowship, but more importantly, it is a place to know and be known. It is a place to love and be loved. It is a place to celebrate and be celebrated. You know, the songwriter sings, "When faith is frail, you carried me." I believe this is referring to Jesus, but I also believe it is referring to the body of Christ as we become a place of safety and healing. God brought his truth to me through his people. The truth is, the accuracy of my feelings was not accurately expressing God's reality about me. My feelings had led me astray. The truth is, I needed a touch of Jesus, and he provided that touch through the community, his people. As much as I was confident in myself before, I still hated the fact that I needed others to hold me up. I know that that's pride, but yet that's where I was. My self-sufficient and independent self had taken a blow. I knew I had been knocked down, but I desperately hoped I had not been knocked out. Love and bonding entered into my life through the door named pain. But you know, receiving can be hard. Receiving means the gig is up. I'm vulnerable. Friends are now fully aware that I can't handle this situation myself. And I was unable at that time to even reciprocate to any of the people who were ministering to me. My healing was not a quick event, but instead it was what I would describe as a slow sunrise. Those who walked with me during this time didn't seem to mind that the path we walked meandered a bit. Let me give you some insight into how this actually worked out in my life. My husband, Harvey, was a huge factor in this process. I first had to admit to him where I was. I bared my soul and my pain, and I asked for help. This is how it practically worked. I had read that a certain man decided that he would not let his feet hit the floor in the morning until he had prayed. And somehow in my heart, I felt I had to do that. And so I asked Carve if he would do it with me. And so it began. Well, the first thing that happened was one of us went down and made coffee. Some things just can't change, and me drinking coffee in the morning is one of them. Decidedly, it was usually Harv that did that, but eventually I helped out with that duty. Then we would read scripture privately to ourselves, and then we would pray. In the beginning, I would have to say that it was Harv that prayed. I found myself incapable of forming the words for prayer. After that, we would discuss what was happening, and then we would have more coffee and the Washington Post. This practice, though it seemed pretty elemental, was pivotal in what happened in my life. You see, the discipline of reading scripture and praying, no matter how you feel, is absolutely crucial to your walk, and God will begin to turn the tide. With my own times of private prayer and talking with Jesus, I began to have just little glimmers of joy. My heart began to respond to his word, and I began to journal because I didn't want to forget anything that he had done. The next person that was very important was my professional counselor. I just want to, as an aside, say this about counseling. I believe as a Christian, you need a Christian counselor. And I say that because they have to understand your worldview and your dependence on Christ. And I had a beautiful counselor, but I went very reluctantly, I will admit. But I went at the encouragement of my husband and my friends and my physician. You know, this step, going to counseling, made it all too real. I was depressed and I needed a counselor. But here's what I found when I went: extreme kindness. Here I found an explanation for what was happening to me, both physically and emotionally. I found his insightful reflections about my thinking so helpful. I went on medication at his suggestion that helped bring balance to my physical body. With his help, I established an exercise program. My counselor prescribed a holistic approach to what was happening with me, and it was very important in the whole picture of what God was doing. And he prayed with me and for me. The next people that walked with me through this journey were three ladies that I quilted with on a weekly basis. One day I had enough courage to tell them and share with them exactly what I was going through. They were somewhat surprised because I had worn a mask of happiness before them pretty convincingly. But they listened. And in the days to come, they listened and listened and listened. They asked great questions. Sometimes they gave sage advice. They made sure I followed the counselor's plan. They offered unconditional love to me, and they prayed. Those women continue to be a treasure to me. And the final person was really an unexpected new friend, a little gift from God. I was at a minister's meeting when someone I only knew by name came up to me and asked, "Are you going through a rough time?" She absolutely had no way of knowing that. I'd never talked to her. With that question became a lasting friendship. It began with me in the midst of my struggle and her just coming out of a similar situation. And the Holy Spirit was working through her to remind me yet again, God was seeing me and he cared about me. As I look back over this process of what happened over those couple of years, I see these three groups of people offered me three things that I want to share with you. First, they showed me genuine humility. Each of them humbly offered up genuine openness of their own hearts to me. They listened without judgment and without offering much advice. They listened as I sometimes talked in circles, and they shared their own struggles. Secondly, they treated my feelings with respect. They showed generosity in putting my needs first. They didn't try to talk me out of what I was feeling. They identified where they could, but they didn't go so far as to affirm that all my feelings were normal. They kept my sharing confidential. I felt safe with each one of them. And most importantly, they offered forgiveness through Christ. They did this by gently correcting my wrong thinking. They gently reminded me of who I was in Christ, not as an accusation of my wrong thinking, but as a light to the right way. All these people were God's gift to me. They were his tangible presence offered in the midst of pain. So today, I can stand before you and say that I have not felt that kind of depression again. God has healed me. He gave me insight in and through the darkness, and he gave me sunrise. I will close with this scripture, adapted by me from Thessalonians, that sums up what God did through his people and how he accomplished healing in my life. Because you loved me so much, you were delighted to share with me not only the gospel of God, but your lives as well. My name is Sally Herman. This is my story.